makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Amici.
Here we all are again, happy to welcome you to another Chase and Sanborn Hour.
Oh, Mr. Akema.
Mr. what?
Not Akema. That's you.
What kind of language is that, Charlie?
I thought you wouldn't get it. That's your name backwards, see? Don backwards is N-O-D, nod, see? And Amici comes out Akema, not Akema.
Oh, I see. New game, huh?
Yeah, I worked on it too, then.
Yeah.
It's well, you ought to try it sometime.
No, thanks, Charlie. I'll leave that to you. In the meantime, I bring you greetings from Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah, that's Ragdy and Negrab and Ilrak it Rackham.
Well, you certainly must have had a lot of time on your hands to figure that one out, Charlie.
Yes, I did. Yes.
How does Dorothy L'Amour come out?
Oh, Dorothy L'Amour, that's Iterod Ruhamel. Is that cute?
Yeah, Charlie. So are you. Of course, I bring the twin hellos of Claude and Clarence Stroud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Eduolk and Eknerolk Duvort. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. How about John Carter? How does that name sound backwards?
Oh, that's a cinch. That's Nodge Retrack.
Say, look, Charlie, you got your work cut out for you on this one. Robert Armbruster.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's Trebor Retzer Bumra. How does that sound?
Sounds like an unfinished symphony.
Yeah.
Now, help me extend a mighty warm welcome to our special guest, the Metropolitan Opera star, Gladys Swarthout.
Well, Gladys Swarthout, that's Sea Dog Swarthout is through.
Oh, come on, what's Swarthout?
What do you want me to do? Knock Bergen's teeth out on
you? I see, Charlie. Finally got you, huh? Well, I hope you all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you will remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn.
Take it now, Akema.
Tolling on my heart for the melody that you hear play. It's the symphony within my soul that's saying, I love you. Tolling on my heart for the time that I'm allowed is fleeting. Don't you wait until the drums of love stop beating. I love you. If this song I've brought you has taught you to care, then romance has caught you and love is on the air. Tune in on my heart, won't you listen to this poor romancer? I am waiting for a simple three-word answer. I love you. Has taught you to care, then romance has caught you, and love is on the air. Tune in on my heart, won't you listen to this poor romancer? I am waiting for a simple three-word answer. I love you.
Singing, Mr. Amici.
Well, do you really want the truth, Charlie?
Well, if you're going to put it that way, no, don't bother.
Don't bother at all, Charlie. I think your singing was pretty awful.
You know how that comes out backwards, don't you? That's awful pretty, see?
Hey, well, that isn't what I said, but you're not going to get me in any arguments. I'll leave that to Bergen.
Oh, I see. Well, Bergen and I, we never argue.
Well, you seem to have had more than a slight difference of opinion last week.
Oh, well, that's all past now. Perfect harmony now. Isn't it right, Bergen?
Oh, yes, Charlie, certainly. Yeah, yes. Everything's fine, isn't it?
Yes, everything is fine. Oh, so rosy, oh, so nice. All except one thing.
One thing?
Yes.
Now, what's that, Charlie?
Well, I go to spend a couple of nights over at Skinny Dugan's house, and what do you do? Go ahead, what do you do?
Yes.
You change my whole room around, don't you?
Yes, yes. While you were away, I had it redone.
Yes, you certainly did.
Yes. What do you think of the new furniture?
Well, what's the idea of those twin beds? Don't I have the room to myself anymore?
Oh, yes, of course.
Certainly. Well, then why twin beds? Are they both mine?
They're both yours.
Oh.
See, they're twins.
Oh, they're twins, I see. Why don't you give them to the Strouds? Give me back my old bed.
No. Charlie, don't be silly.
Yeah?
They're very valuable beds.
Are they?
Yes, yes. They're Louis the 14th.
Oh?
Louis the 14th.
That's so?
Yes.
Louis?
Yes. The 14th.
That's so? Is he sleeping with me now?
No. No, no, you see, no, Charlie, the entire room is Louis the 14th.
Oh, the entire room. Oh, then it isn't even my room, huh?
Oh.
Thrown out like a dog, that's...
Oh, no. You don't understand.
Well,
it is your room, but the furniture is Louis the 14th.
Oh. Oh, I see. We're renting it.
No, no. We're not renting it.
He gave it to us?
No, no.
You didn't snitch it?
No.
Well, that's all there's left.
Charlie, the bedroom is Louis the 14th.
Bergen, I don't want to beat around the bush, see? I have nothing against Louis, see?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to share my room with him, see?
All right.
That's definite, see?
All right, all right. Louis the 14th was king of France 300 years ago.
Well, I know 300 years ago.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to room with that old geezer?
No. Louis the 14th is French royalty.
Oh.
He was crowned in 1643.
Yeah, he comes up to my room, he'll be crowned in 1, 2, 3.
Oh. For the last time I tell you, your furniture is Louis the 14th, period.
Yeah, and for the last time I tell you, I won't sleep with Louis. Semicolon. My room is going to be Charlie the 1st. Last in all the time.
Yes, I see.
Yes.
Charlie, it is your room, do you understand?
Yes.
Louis the 14th will never come in it, and everything in the room is yours.
Oh.
How's that?
Well, that's more like it. But I sure had to fight for my rights around here. Always trying to sneak something over on Anderson.
What's that?
I say thank you very much. That's all I say.
I see. Are you satisfied now?
Yeah. But don't forget to tell Louis he's through.
I'll tell him. No.
All right. And don't give him the key either.
No, I won't give him a key, no. Now, Charlie, now just one word about your clothes closet.
Uh-oh. That, too?
Yes. Yes, that has gone through a much-needed cleaning.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I did it while you were away.
I imagine so. It certainly was an awful mess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how one person could get a clothes closet in such a terrible state.
Maybe Louis did it.
No. What do you think I found in your clothes closet?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
The last time I opened a clothes closet door, a duck walked out.
Well, from now on, your room will be a bedroom of a model American boy.
You mean no turtles in the bathtub?
No turtles, no. Absolutely not.
What about Socrates?
And no dogs in the bedroom either.
Oh.
That dog of yours is always getting hair all over the rugs.
Oh, well, he can't help it if his hair is falling out. It isn't his fault. Gee whiz. Now, you take you, for example.
All right.
Well, neither one of you can help it.
All right.
Socrates is molting.
Molting. Dogs don't molt. Only birds molt.
Oh. Well, he's a bird dog.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Bird dog. Well, I wish he'd fly away.
You are the one, Bergen. You will have your little quips, won't you? If you've got anything funny to say, let me say it.
All right. All right, Charlie. Now, for one person who promised not to argue, you certainly are making things difficult. Have you any further complaints to make?
Well, there's just one more thing, Bergen.
Yes?
I don't want to go to any more of those places like we went to last night.
Oh, you mean the lecture?
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. Didn't you like it?
Well, I can sleep much better at home.
Yeah, just as I thought. You didn't hear what the professor had to say about his experiences in Africa with the tsetse fly?
With a what fly?
The tsetse fly.
Oh.
It's a very small fly.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
You mean it's the itsy weetsy fly?
That's just what it is.
Oh.
It's the itsy weetsy tsetse fly.
Yeah. Aren't you a bit old to be talking that way? did 'em learn it all last night? Did 'em?
Yes, well, you're not so smart, young man. Tell us, what grade were you in last year?
Last year?
Yes.
Seventh grade, yes.
And this year?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
I'm doing an encore.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, I like it.
Yes. Did you ever think of going into the eighth grade?
Eighth grade?
Yes, you know there is an eighth grade.
Yeah?
Yes.
What won't they think of next?
Well, why aren't you in there this year?
Well, I'm not much for getting around. I'm sort of a homeboy.
Yes, I notice that. It's almost useless to try to convince you, Charlie, of the need of education.
Uh-huh.
If you'd listened to the professors last night, you would have enjoyed hearing of his experiences.
Yeah?
Yes. How he was lost, you know, in Africa and had to eat bark and berries and build a campfire without the aid of matches.
You mean by rubbing two sticks together?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, did you pay $1.50 for that? You must listen more to me, Bergen. I'll teach you how to do that for a quarter.
A quarter? No, never mind.
A nickel?
No.
At Boy Scout camp last summer, I was the official campfire lighter-upper.
You were? Yeah. Do you mean to tell me that you lit a campfire by rubbing two sticks together?
Light a campfire? I burned a whole darn camp down.
Well, Charlie is certainly pleased with himself. And we are certainly pleased that our newcomer, John Carter, has made good friends of so many of you. John Carter sings L'amour toujours l'amour. And before any trouble begins, let me assure Charlie that the song is not about Dorothy. Johnny?
Sing to me love's own.
Bravissimo, Mr. Carter. Marvelous voice, eh, Amici?
Yeah, he certainly is, Charlie.
Yes, almost as good as mine. Too bad he used it on such a silly song, though.
Silly?
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, that song is a classic.
Classic. Fly and Falder all. Dipsy Doodle, now there's a classic. Oh, Dipsy Doodle. Wait till you hear Gladys Worth out and me sling out on that. It's amazing what we do to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, don't tell Gladys, but I'm liable to sneak in a few hot operatic licks.
Hot operatic licks?
Yeah, zan, zan, zan. You won't give me away, will you?
Well, I can't promise not to give you away, Charlie. In fact, I say to everyone, if you like Charlie McCarthy and want to receive a marvelous likeness of him free, don't miss a word of this news.
Midnight, February 28th, 1 week from tomorrow. That's your last possible chance to get your full-color action likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. And this amazing present is just too good to miss. Charlie's big, over 20 inches tall. He sits right on your knee, and you can roll his eyes and move his mouth. He's made of strong cardboard, printed to show Charlie's red hair and brown eyes, even his monocle and high silk hat. Yes, you'll certainly enjoy Charlie, and how the children love him. Don't miss this final chance to get him free. By midnight, February 28th, mail us 4 bag fronts showing the date from 4 1-pound bags of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Remember, dated coffee is the superb blend you know is fresh. Coffee that's rushed, freshly roasted to your grocer, packed in a money-saving dated bag that's plainly marked with a delivery date. This date guarantees the freshness of dated coffee. Protect you against stale coffee with its bitter, rancid taste and the dangerous effect it may have on your nerves and digestion. So enjoy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Mail us 4 bag fronts, and we'll send you Charlie McCarthy free. But remember, your letter must be postmarked on or before midnight, February 28th. After that, it's too late. The address is Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Don't miss this chance to get Charlie free. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Dorothy L'Amour sings a new song by Howard Dietz and Arthur Schwartz. I see your face before me. Dorothy?
I see your face before me, crowding my every dream. There is your face before me. You are my only theme. It doesn't matter where you are, I can see how fair you are. I close my eyes and there you are, always. If you could share the magic, if you could see me, be nothing tragic in all my dreams of you. Would that my love could haunt you so, knowing I want you so. I can't erase your wonderful face. Knowing I want you so. and erase your wonderful face before me.
Dorothy, as always, you do yourself and us proud. When Accent on Youth by Samson Raphaelson opened on Broadway, one critic described it as gaily sad and sadly gay and very, very wise. We try to bring you some of the gaiety and wisdom of Accent on Youth with a young actress who, in my opinion, is very talented. I'll tell you her name after you've heard her.
Accent on Youth, with Don Ameche as a middle-aged and very successful playwright. His new play, Old Love, hasn't been going so well. It has been promised to Bill Benham, the producer, in 3 weeks. But at the moment, the playwright is so disgusted with the whole thing, he's decided to quit writing for good and sail for Finland. He calls his secretary.
Linda, get Mr. Benham on the phone, will you? No. Better not. He'll talk my head off. Take a letter. Dear Bill, when you get this, I'll be on the Ile de France on the first lap to Finland, period. Forget the play, dash, and save yourself a lot of headaches, period. What do you think of it, Linda? I'm quitting. I'm going to live. For the first time in my life, I've stopped being a playwright. I'm a man, that's what I am, and I don't mean maybe.
And save yourself a lot of headaches.
Yes, period. Bill, dash, I've retired, period. I really have, Linda. Oh, what a wonderful feeling. Make a note, advertisement, apartment for rent, 8 stories, 2-room view of East River. I retired. What's the last thing I said?
Bill, dash, I've retired, period.
I've never lived before, period. Think of it, : You could kill all the actors, writers, and directors in the world, and it'd still be fishermen in Capri, peasants in France, and bandits in Sicily, period. And I wouldn't be surprised if I found romance in Finland. 2 exclamation points. Why, Bill, this is something you ought to do, too, period. Just think of it, Linda. I don't care about the first act love scene. I don't care about any scene. I've retired. What have you got?
If I found romance in Finland, 2 exclamation points. Why, Bill, this is something you ought to do, too.
I'm afraid this letter will be over Benham's head. Kill it. I'll send him a radiogram from the boat. And, Linda, you're discharged. With my compliments, my gratitude, and my affection. Now, we'll have to give you a nice present, What would you like most in the world?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come, Linda. I'm serious. Would you like a car, a trip to Europe, or maybe a trousseau? Well, haven't you got a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, now don't be silly. You're a fine-looking girl. You make any man a splendid wife. I'll tell you what. Write yourself a check for 6 months' salary.
Well, all right, I'll make out a check.
That's it. You retire, too. Take a trip somewhere. Honolulu, ukuleles, Yellowstone Park, cowboys and Indians. See America first. Or maybe Havana. It's romantic.
Would you sign a check?
Yeah. What's this? $41.65.
Today is the fourth day of the week. My salary is 60 a week. 4 days make 40. And I paid $1.65 for that parcel post package yesterday.
What's the matter, Linda? What have I done?
Nothing is the matter.
Well, you're angry.
No, I'm accurate. You've discharged me, haven't you?
Well, that's not quite the way to...
Yes or no?
Yes.
I've finished your letters, your notes, your telephone calls. You'll find everything filed away. All your manuscripts in order, all the bills for the month paid. The pencils are sharpened, the typewriter's covered, the desk is shut. My working day is over. You owe me $41.65.
Oh, my child, I owe you far more than that. As a matter of fact, strictly speaking, you're entitled to 2 weeks' notice.
You gave me a month's vacation last summer on double pay. That covers everything. Here's the check. Will you sign it, please? May I have it? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now we're through, aren't we?
Why, looks that way.
You're no longer my employer.
No?
And I'm no longer your secretary.
That's right.
We're two human beings together.
Yes, Linda.
A man and a woman.
Yeah, a man and a woman.
Well, before I say goodbye, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that the 3 years and 2 months I've spent with you have been the most wonderful, painful, happiest years I've ever had or hoped to have. You hardly knew I was on earth. But you've given me more than you could have given any woman, or your friends, or your audiences. You've spoiled every man I know for me. Get back in the first month. I don't think I'll ever forget a single look of your face, a single word you said. You've done a terrible thing. You opened my eyes and my heart, and you never even looked at me. It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful. And if you think I can walk out of this house quietly, that you can smile me away with money and a few new dresses, if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, without wanting to cut my initials into every day you're going to live, you're crazy. Goodbye. And try to forget
me. Hey, wait. Come here. Let me look at you. You strange creature. You lovely creature. No. Don't go away. Let me look at you some more. I'm not patronizing. I'm seeing you. You're grand. Oh, if only I was 30 again, or 40. What do you want of me, Linda?
Nothing.
Oh, it's not true.
No, it's not true.
What do you want of me, Linda?
I don't know. Everything.
Oh,
anything.
Here. Now, sit down. Of course, most natural thing in the world. Where do you live, Linda?
West 10th Street.
Apartment?
Yes.
And your parents are dead. You went to college or something, didn't you?
3 years.
Why, certainly. A girl like that, I come into her life and happens. Suddenly a banquet. She gets Broadway, literature, personalities, and me. Linda, I know you won't believe it, but you'll get over this.
Will I?
Yes, you will. You're young. You've made yourself ready. The world is full of fascinating people. Much more fascinating than I am.
You know that isn't so.
No, I suppose it's something what you say. Tell me, am I attractive?
Yes.
You know, it's funny when you get right down to it. I can't think offhand of a man, who could make you forget me. Oh, I'm beginning to see what a spot you're in. I am a unique combination. Witty, sensitive, imaginative, worldly, gay, and yet with a feeling for tragedy. And I know myself too well. I've been around too much to deny that I'm charming.
You're wonderful.
Yeah, I know I am. But, Linda, my sweet, I don't love you. I don't love anybody.
I know that. You don't have to tell me. I know that.
And if I did love you, suppose, for the sake of argument, I fell in love with you, it'd be worse. Picture a man of my age. Why, it's like the situation in Old Love. Linda, get your notebook. You're hired again. Linda, this is marvelous. Oh, how can I ever repay you? Do you realize what you've done for me? Angel, you've saved my play. Get this. It's a cinch, Linda. Why didn't I think of it before? She makes love to him. Do you get it? How beautifully simple. She makes love to him. It whitewashes the old boy completely. Oh, bless you, Linda. I'm in love with the play all over again, aren't you?
I always was.
Now, let's see. You were standing right there. Goodbye, but before I go, I want you to know I love you. Why, even the idea was great. What a build-up. Do you remember what you said after that?
I can't remember a thing.
It doesn't matter. The years I've spent with you. I'm going to make her secretary. Whole first act in his office. It'll work out. We can do it in 3 days. What did I say?
Goodbye. But before I go, I want you to know I love you. The years I've spent
with you. I've spent with you have been unbearable every hour, every second, every day, period. Ah, it's terrible. It's too melodramatic. You said it better. I'm too excited. Kill that last speech. All right, now, let's see. You've done a terrible thing to me. You've opened my eyes and my heart, and you never even looked at me. It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful.
I said that, too.
And if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, Well, what's the matter? Aren't you writing it down?
Give it to me again.
You've opened my eyes and my heart, and you never even looked at me. Say you are attractive. Yeah, what did you say after that?
It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful. And if you think I could walk out of this house quietly without wanting to cut my initials into every day you're going to live...
Linda, open your notebook. After that, the man's got to say something. He gets out of his chair and he comes over to her like this and he says, I'm a brute, but that shouldn't be news to you. Every day I've been sitting here dictating to you, looking at you. Yes, looking at you, but never seeing you. Now, for the first time, you've changed. You're no longer a machine, but a human being. And a very lovely human being. Oh, how is it possible for me to be so near to you, Linda, and yet so far away? How could...
Linda?
Dear world, I'm marrying my secretary. Comma, semicolon, period, and dash.
No exclamation point.
By all means, an exclamation point, but no question mark. girl who played Linda, Helen Brown, a radio actress I'm sure Hollywood will soon recognize. The Jason Sanborn Hour, Dash, with Gladys Swarthout, comma, Dorothy L'Amour, comma, John Carter, comma, the Stroud Twins, comma, Robert Armbruster and his orchestra, comma, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Period.
Yes, Charlie. A very short period before the Jason Sanborn Hour continues.
Oh, the dipsy doodle is a thing to beware. Oh, the dipsy. Oh, pardon me. I was just rehearsing for my duet with Gladys Swarthout.
Charlie, Miss Swarthout is going to sing now.
Oh,
a solo.
She's rehearsing too, huh?
Well, not exactly. The song is a great favorite on the concert stage, and the singer, Gladys Swarthout, is a great favorite of the Metropolitan Opera Company. She's just finished starring in Romance in the Dark for Paramount. And from what the trade papers say, it's a hit, a sock, a wow. It's great. That is worth out singing, O Lovely Night. Shooting Romance in the Dark, they made you stand up and be pelted from all sides with large, ripe, juicy tomatoes.
It's true, Don. Anything for art. But I wish they'd known before they shot that scene just what was going to happen to it. It landed kerplunk, tomatoes and all, on the cutting room floor.
Well, here's something that would never be cut out of the picture. Gladys Swarthout singing Tonight We Love from Romance in the Dark.
divine. Tomorrow the dream, yesterday the memory. Tonight, we'll
again, thank you, Gladys Swarthout, for your lovely singing. It was really beautiful. Claude, I'm sure you enjoyed Miss Swarthout's singing.
Hmm?
I say, I'm sure you enjoyed the singing of Gladys Swarthout.
Who did Swarthout?
Oh, now you're doing names backwards, huh? Should have known better than to ask you anything about anything.
Ask me anything.
No, when I'm looking for complimentary speeches, I should ask Clarence. All right, go ahead, Clarence. Let's have your flowery bouquet and try to hold it down to 4 minutes, will you? What do you think of Miss Swarthout's singing?
Excellent.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Excellent, Don.
Well, Clarence, what's the matter? Did we hurt your feelings by kidding you last week?
No, Don. Why?
Well, that's just what I mean. No, Don. Why? Excellent. Just doesn't sound like you. Is there anything wrong? Aren't you feeling well?
I'm a man of a few words, Don, but when I awakened this morning, I was somewhat indisposed due to a discomforting throat irritation, and I deemed it advisable to use my vocal cords sparingly.
Oh, you've got a sore throat, huh? Why, for you, that's serious. Did you hear that, Claude? Clarence has a sore throat and he won't be able to talk. That's a calamity. That's terrible. Isn't it awful?
Isn't it swell? Now, just a moment, Don. My condition is hardly that serious. I will be able to talk. Isn't it awful? Claude, your uncomplimentary remarks are entirely uncalled for. I'm not easily aroused.
Now, don't aggravate yourself, Clarence, and don't you aggravate him, Claude. Let Dr. Amici prescribe for you, Clarence.
Why, Don, this is a distinct surprise. I didn't know that you were a doctor.
Well, neither did I, but a man has to start sometime.
Let's operate on him, Don.
Wait a minute now, Claude. This is a serious case. We'll have to make a diagnosis first.
We'll operate then, won't we? I'll make the decision about that.
Clarence, in your condition, you're not able to make a decision about anything.
I beg to disagree, Don. I say, with pardonable pride, that I have made an exhaustive study of medicine, and consequently, I can tell you that my blood pressure is normal, my pulse is normal, my temperature is normal.
Don't you wish you were?
All right, Clarence, I don't doubt that you have a knowledge of medicine, but you should really check up on yourself. Now, just what do you think is the matter with you?
I have no symptoms at the moment. However, I do admit that this morning I was suffering from a granulistic angina with cervical adenopathy.
It's got flat feet.
Clarence, you're like every other patient. You think you know more than the doctor. Now let's get this examination underway. Any delay might have serious consequences.
We're going to operate now?
Possibly you are not aware of the fact that you are deliberately violating the oath of Hippocrates, the father of medicine. I protest this procedure with all the vehemence at my command. You imply symptomatic evidence superinduced by aggravation of streptococci infection.
He's demented. He's delirious.
He's the nuts.
Now, Clarence, you simply must relax. You're probably trying to be very brave about this, but I'm sure your throat must be hurting you. Now, open your mouth now.
Don't tell me it was closed.
Now, please, Clarence, be a good patient. Open your mouth. That's fine. Now, stick out your tongue. No, out further. Way out.
Now, close your mouth.
I bit my tongue.
Let's put it in splints, sir.
Don't be silly. I won't be able to talk.
Don't be silly. I know it.
Now, let's proceed with this examination.
Now, Don, enough is enough. I feel...
Clarence, keep quiet and answer my question.
It's a good trick if you can do it.
Well, I can't.
Still a good trick.
Quiet, please. The way this patient is acting, I'm on the verge of a breakdown.
Do you want to push?
Quiet, please. Now, Clarence, close your mouth. That's it. Now, keep it nice and tight. Now, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? He mumbles in three syllables. All right, you can open your mouth now, Clarence.
Well, thank you, Don. I insist that under the...
Quiet, please. Now, open your mouth. Come on, wider. Wider?
Huh?
Come on, wider, wider. Oh, lovely. What do you think of that, Claude?
Hold it, I'll drive my car in it.
Room enough for your trailer, too.
This is getting more ridiculous every second. I am not ill. I am in excellent health. I feel fine, and I don't need your assistance.
Oh, my. I'm a raving stock mad. I'm afraid we can't do anything for him, Claude. Perhaps he needs a brain specialist.
Perhaps he needs a brain.
Perhaps he needs a nurse.
Oh, Dorothy, you came just in time.
Yeah, we're going to operate.
May I cut in?
Dorothy, I welcome your presence, and I appeal to your judgment. Really, do I look sick?
Yes. Always.
Can't you see that I'm completely myself? I insist that
Don,
I...
Don, feel his pulse. It's really racing.
Wants to get away from him.
Who doesn't?
Dorothy, you too have failed me, and I might say that it is regrettable that in this group I cannot find one understanding person who can see things as I do. Clearly, unprejudiced, unbiased. I am well, I tell you, I am well.
What's the matter, Clarence? Don't you feel good?
Am I glad to see you, John Carter, finally a sensible person. Your arrival is certainly propitious. There has been a concerted attempt to upset my equilibrium, and you are my last hope of restoring a semblance of sanity.
Glad to help you, Clarence. What's wrong with him, Don?
We don't know. It's a very peculiar case. Can't diagnose it. Maybe you can help us.
But I'm not a doctor, Don. I don't know a thing about medicine.
Oh, you're just the man. What do you advise?
Well, let's operate.
I know what Clarence needs, a vacation. He should go away for a rest.
I don't need a rest.
Now, where do you want to go? The seashore, the mountains, the desert?
Well, if I must go the way things are going, I'll take the desert.
How about Palm Springs?
I like Hand Springs.
No, Clarence, I can't see the desert.
It's over 100 miles, Don, no wonder.
But I like the desert.
Please, Clarence, whose vacation is this, mine or yours?
Well, frankly, mine.
Well, if you go away, frankly, it's ours. Say, I've got it, an ocean voyage. That's what you need. I think the ocean is a good place for Clarence.
Top or bottom?
That is immaterial and far beyond the point, and I may as well confess that at the present moment, I am not even financially situated to consider going anyplace.
Oh, well, in that case, let's all pitch in and get Clarence out of here.
Let's all get in and pitch Clarence out of here.
Claude, Don, Johnny, and Dorothy, I am truly impressed by your undoubted sincerity. You have all touched me with your deep concern and friendly advice. You have made suggestions for my welfare, but I, knowing my own condition better than any of you, have made my own decision, and this, I must tell you, is irrevocable.
Yeah, what is it, Clarence?
Let's operate.
John Carter chooses for his second selection the Flower Song from Bizet's popular opera, Carmen.
Mon chemin, oui, m'accuse de blasphème et je ne chante en moi-même. Je ne chante un seul désir, un seul désir, un seul espoir.
Congratulations, Don, for that very fine rendition of the flower song. Now, last-minute news about our big Charlie McCarthy gift offer.
If you hurry, we'll gladly send you free a big, full-color, action-likeness of Charlie McCarthy. But remember, this sensational offer positively ends on midnight, February 28th, so don't miss out. Colorful, comical Charlie is made of heavy cardboard over 20 inches high, printed to show his rosy cheeks and red hair, his dress suit, high hat, and monocle, his brown eyes and a yellow daisy in his hand. His knees bend so he sits on your lap. His eyes roll and his mouth opens and closes when you pretend to make him talk. Children love him, so do grown-ups. And here's how you get Charlie free. Mail us four bag fronts showing the date from 4 1-pound bags of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Don't forget, dated coffee is the blend you know is fresh. Rushed from roasting to your grocer by our unique dating and rapid delivery system, with a delivery date clearly marked on the money-saving dated bag. This date is your guarantee of freshness, your safeguard against stale coffee with its rancid taste and the harmful effects it may have on your system. So enjoy dated coffee, and then before midnight, February 28th, mail us four bag fronts, and we'll send you Charlie free. But your letter must be postmarked on or before midnight, February 28th. That's 1 week from tomorrow. Now here's our address. Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Don't miss getting Charlie free. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Charlie, now is the time when you have the great pleasure and privilege of singing with Gladys Swarthout. And I'm just wondering how it'll turn out.
Oh, have you your doubts about her, too?
Doubts about her?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't it, yeah?
Charlie, do you realize that Miss Swarthout is a great star of the Metropolitan Opera, concert halls, and motion pictures?
What, no vaudeville?
No, of course not.
Oh. Well, no matter. My voice will cover up her shortcomings. I'll sing with Gladys.
Thank you, Charlie. And do you know who's going to listen to us tonight?
No, who?
Edward Johnson.
Not Edward Johnson.
Yes, Edward Johnson.
Is that so? No, Edward Johnson. Who is he?
Why, Charlie, Edward Johnson is the managing director of the Metropolitan Opera Company.
Oh, is he? Well, bring him around. We'll give him an audition. The lad probably has a decent voice.
I should say he has, Charlie. Did you ever study singing?
Yeah, well, there was a man in New York. He was very good.
Yeah, but Gladys wants to know if you studied singing.
Yeah, well, he gives lessons. Of course, he's very expensive.
Yeah, I know, but did you take lessons from him?
Well, you see, the man, I couldn't pay naturally. No, but did you take lessons? Well, I said,
don't push me. All right. Any talk. All right. Did you take lessons?
Well, he had a book for 75.
Did you take lessons from the man?
Well, no.
I thought not.
No, well, I just don't.
Yeah. Gladys, what are your first recollections of singing before an audience?
Well, Edgar, the first time I sang was in an assembly at public school. The principal called upon the different children to do something.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the same thing happened in my school.
The principal asked you to do something in school?
Yes. He asked me to leave the room. Why, I shall never know. I was innocent. So help me, I was innocent. I swear I was innocent.
All right, all right. Do you mean to say you don't know why he asked you to leave the room?
I don't know. To this day, I'm innocent. It was either the bean shooter or the thumbtack I dropped on his seat. Which one, I shall never know. I'm innocent.
All right.
Edgar, did you ever sing in public?
Oh, yes, I did. I sang at a ship's concert, and it brings back somewhat tragic memories. You see, I never completed my song because while I was singing, a man fell overboard.
Oh. He didn't fall. Oh, John.
He knew what he was doing.
Charlie, I'm sure Edgar has a very pleasing voice, and you shouldn't talk that way.
Have you heard Bergen sing?
No, I haven't.
Well, then you shouldn't talk that way.
I have. What a voice.
Oh, phew.
It might be compared to a hunk of plate glass going through a buzzsaw.
Charlie, you certainly have done a lot of criticizing, and I'm just waiting until you sing.
Well, wait no more.
I'll sing.
Gladys Wathout and Charles McCarthy will now sing the aria Ditsy Doodle from the opera Faust.
No, not Faust.
No?
No.
Carmen?
No, of course not.
Oh, Barbara of Seville?
No.
Barbara Stanwyck?
No.
I'm dreaming again. I give up.
Well, it wasn't from an opera at all.
Oh, well, that's what threw me. What's it from?
Oh, it's immaterial.
All right. We'll now sing Ditsy Doodle from Immaterial. Still doesn't sound right.
Mm. You ready, Gladys?
Mm. Yes, Charlie. And remember, our diction must be perfect.
Oh, quite. Yeah. We must do it definitely, distinctly. That is the thing, diction. Shall we sing
Yes, sir. Definitely
Oh, gooder. Super gooder. Uh-huh. I shall sing opera.
And I'll sing a swinger.
Professor Armbruster, one, two, three, play,
The Dipsy Doodle's a thing to beware.
The Dipsy Doodle will get in your hair.
And if it gets you, it couldn't be worse.
The things you say will come out in reverse. Like you love I and me love you. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works.
Oh, the Dipsy Oh, what's the matter here?
Oh, opera. I'll show you how we sang it at the conversatory.
How I love the Dipsy Doodle more than I love apple strudel.
The moon jumps over the car, hey, devil. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works.
You know, you're not helping me any. I'll show you the difference between singing this and making a fool of yourself. I am off my noodle. The Dipsy Doodle. I love to sing opera. I'm nuts about.
Oh, I think that you're crazy. You're the victim of the Dipsy Doodle. But it's not your mind that's hazy.
Stop. What? No flutes around here? That's what I like.
Love, Dipsy Doodle.
Oh, I was a fool to try it.
You gotta listen and try to be good.
I'll try and do all the things that I should.
The Dipsy Doodle will bet you someday. You'll think you're crazy, the things that you say. Like wisdom, God, I am hard and hard. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works. Is that the way you mean, Charlie?
Well, yes.
Gladys, I want you to know that that Nakati School of Vocal Instruction considers you an honorary pupil.
Thank you, Charlie.
And you get the degree of S.I.S.
S.I.S.?
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Swing It Sister. You know, I taught John Carter all I know about singing, too.
Oh, that's wonderful, Charlie. Your two star pupils get together to sing I'll See You Again from Noel Coward's operetta, Bittersweet.
Ah, Bill Noel Coward, splendid chap. Pupil of mine, too, you know, he's a pupil. Carry on, Gladys and John, carry on. Another Chase and Sanborn hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. Next week, we'll have as our special guest, Rosalind Russell. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir. Sanborn Coffee. Heard on this program where I see your face before me from the production Between the Devil, The Big Show from Jerome Kern's Head Over Heels, Cocktails for Two from Murder at the Vanities, and I'll See You Again from Noel Coward's Bittersweet. Gladys Swarthout appeared here through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. Her latest film was Romance in the Dark. Next week, another Chase and Sanborn Hour with Don Amici, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, John Carter, Georgia Lamour, the Stroud Friends, and Robert Armbruster and his orchestra. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.